Good morning and welcome to Morning Worship on this fourth Sunday of Easter. We're really ploughing through the church here without even going to church. People are now wondering about Christmas. It's one thing skipping Easter, but for Christmas not to happen, that's a very different matter entirely. This morning the lectionary encourages us to think of Jesus as a shepherd and therefore ourselves as sheep. This imagery is captured in our second reading from the first letter of Peter, in the very familiar psalm, number 23, to which we'll sing a hymn instead of just having it read, and very pointedly in the gospel reading. In a time when we feel somewhat lost, we probably find the image of Jesus as a shepherd comforting. He will help us, guide us, care for us. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. In your resurrection, O Christ, let heaven and earth rejoice. Alleluia. Blessed are you, Lord God of our salvation. To you be praise and glory for ever. As once you ransomed your people from Egypt and led them to freedom in the promised land, so now you have delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your risen Son. May we, the first fruits of your new creation, rejoice in this new day you have made, and praise you for your mighty acts. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God for ever. Let us turn to a time of confession. Using these words from 1 Corinthians in chapter 5. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been offered for us. Let us then rejoice by putting away all malice and evil and confessing our sins with a sincere and true heart. Almighty God, long-suffering and of great goodness, we confess to you, we confess with our whole heart, our neglect and forgetfulness of your commandments, our wrongdoing, thinking and speaking, the hurt we have done to others, and the good we have left undone. O God, forgive us, for we have sinned against you. Raise us, we pray, to newness of life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God, who is both power and love, forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and for ever. Amen.
First reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to the end. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to breaking of the bread and prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved.
The second reading is from the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verses 19 to the end. For it is to your credit if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, where is the credit in that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls.
Holy Gospel is written in John chapter 10, beginning at the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The idea of being cocooned in the sheepfold gives us a sense of security, I expect. In our present lockdown, we no doubt feel confined. However, 60% of people interviewed in a survey this week said they were worried about venturing out into public places again, of going into pubs and restaurants, of sending their children to school, of using public transport. We like to feel safe. Even when off on some grand adventure, we like to know that our home is there to return to, as well as taking everything we might need with us, just in case. My mum always used to say, "I like going on holiday, but it's always nice to come home." And of course, security is important. But what or who do we trust? Where does common sense end and our phobias begin? It's sensible to be sensible, but irrational fear can be just around the corner. We are only here for a season anyway, and God wants us to live our lives in abundance. So what struck me on rereading this passage was that Jesus is not mainly talking about keeping us safe in the fold, but about us being led out. He's called us by name, and we will follow him, the one whose voice we recognise. We're being led away from the place of safety to new pastures. And that's where the imagery of Psalm 23 comes into play. The still waters, the green pastures, and the dark valley. Isn't it fascinating how Scripture is always bursting the bonds of its own metaphors? It's a deep, dark valley, and then perhaps just a cleft in the rock. But it is the valley of the shadow of death. We are sheep, but have a tremulous awareness of our own mortality. And by the end of the psalm, we are clearly truly human, the sheep just a caricature, for the table is prepared, I'm anointed, my cup overflows, and we're reminded once again of the abundance that the gospel speaks of. The apostles had found and were celebrating this abundance, and there were many wonders and signs. Others were struck with awe at this, but they were just beginning to realise their true potential, beginning to become the people they were created to be. With the exhilaration of that participating in the work of God, they are ecstatic that they have been led out, that they followed the guiding voice, to the extent that they surrendered all the material security they had and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. A real letting go and letting God. There's been much anxiety expressed this week about the plans for coming out of the lockdown. How, where, and most concerning, when. There are concerns too about making any commitments. And in that, there has been a lot of talk about not returning to normal, but to finding a new normal, an undefined normal, that will be protracted enough for us to accept as the normal in time. A way of living that is very different, but in which we will reframe our lifestyles and have some sense of security once again, hopefully. The early church embraced a new normal for herself, and soon had many others embracing that newness themselves. But, as in the psalm, there were green pastures, there were still waters, but there was also the dark valley. The abundant life that God calls us to isn't just an expectation that we'll say, "Oh, isn't this life lovely?" but an entering into the fullness of life with all that brings, a heady mix of joy and sorrow, not to be avoided, but to be engaged with. Today's second reading is from the first letter of Peter. Time has moved on. Things have changed. The church is establishing herself. The new normal has become at least more normal. There is the need for a plan, understanding, way in which life is to be lived as the people of God. Peter's letter is full of instructions couched in the metaphor that he uses, which is one of the household. God is our master, we are the slaves. If that seems harsh, have a look at Leviticus 25. It's worth checking out some of what Leviticus offers. There's a concern there to balance personal and community responsibilities, a better balance of which I hope forms part of our new normal in our new tomorrow today. The responsibilities of the church in Peter's time and for us today are embedded in an understanding that our house is a spiritual house and that we are a holy priesthood. Look back at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. If we now return to the gospel, we find that Jesus seems to have difficulty conveying his ideas through the imagery of shepherd and sheep. So he tries again. Okay, I'm the door to the sheepfold. To our ears, that sounds a lot more obscure, if not comic. A person as a door, surely not even more accessible for his hearers. Perhaps his crowd were too urbanised, too removed from their pastoral heritage, or at least wanted to appear too sophisticated for such an analogy. This northerner from the backwaters of Galilee was surely out of his depth. We don't really expect to actually learn anything from him. Do we think the story too rustic and archaic to be of relevance to us today? A sheepfold didn't have a door as such, just a gap for the sheep to enter and exit by. At night, with the sheep safely ensconced, the shepherd himself would prop himself scrunched up in the gap to stop any sheep running off and any intruder gaining access. Jesus is the shepherd, is the door. Jesus just wants them to get with the programme. What is your sheepfold? Where is your entrance exit? Is it your temple? Is it this city? Is it your own home? Is it your mind? Come on, think, imagine, engage. Truly, truly, Jesus is as earnest as ever. That returns me to what had leapt out at first when reading today's gospel. Jesus wasn't talking about keeping the sheep safe inside the fold, or about himself being the door shut, bolted, but about him being the open door, open for us to come and go, to find shelter and to find pasture, to know that abundant life that he was eager to share then and eager to share with us today. However confined we might feel, however fearful we may be of stepping out beyond what we've come to understand as our stay at home in the last few weeks, Jesus the Christ invites us to embrace the freedom of the life he offers and to revel in its immeasurable abundance wherever we are. The Gospel Canticle, with the refrain, "The Lord is risen from the tomb, who for our sakes hung upon the tree. Alleluia. The Lord is risen from the tomb, who for our sakes hung upon the tree. Alleluia." Jesus Christ was in the form of God, but he did not cling to equality with God. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant.
and was born in our human likeness. Being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen. The Lord is risen from the tomb, who for our sakes hung upon the tree. Alleluia. Let us declare our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray.
Let us pray that our risen Saviour will fill us with the joy of his glorious and life-giving resurrection. That isolated and persecuted churches may find fresh strength in the good news of Easter. That God may grant us humility to be subject to one another in Christian love. That he may provide for those who lack food, work, or shelter. That by his power, war, famine, and disease may cease through all the world. That he may reveal the light of his presence to the sick, the weak, and the dying, to comfort and strengthen them. That he may send the power of the Holy Spirit upon his people, so that we may bear faithful witness to his resurrection. And we pray for all those who are in our hearts and minds. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy hear us, accept our prayers, and be with us always. Amen. The collect for this fourth Sunday of Easter. Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, is the resurrection and the life, raise us who trust in him from the death of sin to the life of righteousness, that we may seek those things which are above, where he reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Lord of life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of your Son overcame the old order of sin and death to make things new in him, grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise and honour, glory and might, now and in all eternity. Amen. Rejoicing in God's new creation, let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, the comfort of the sad, the strength of those who suffer, hear the prayers of your children who cry out of any tribulation. And in every soul that is distressed, grant mercy, relief, and refreshment through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. May the risen Christ grant us the joys of eternal life. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.